Romans chapter 7. Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, in Romans, the first part of the book of Romans deals with sin, and chapters 4 and 5 deal with salvation. And then you got chapters 6 and 7. We took two Wednesday nights to chapter 6 and dealt with the two natures. Now, here's where I'm telling you, people get this. In all you're getting, please get this. After you get saved, there is a new man that moves on the inside of you, and there's two people living in the same house. And here's where Christians fall off the wagon. I think we said that last week. Not that they lost their salvation, by no means, but I'm saying fall off the wagon as if here's where we lose our victory. Here's where we lose our fellowship with the Lord. We think just because we got saved that everything turns to roses and everything, life is just sweet. And just because we turned our life over to Christ that everything is just going to be hunky-dory hereafter. Well, I got news for you, friend. Before you got saved, you were on the devil's side. And when you got saved, you became an enemy of the devil, and he don't like it. And so he's put out war against you. And that's just the way it is. Now, I want you to look, same idea as we've had the last two Wednesday nights about the soul, or excuse me, the old nature and the new nature. Two people living in the same house. I preached a message not long ago about King Saul and King David. Both kings are in the same kingdom, and it all depends on King Saul was the world's pick. It was a fleshly kingdom, a king, and King David was God's pick. And there's two kings living on in the same kingdom, and that's the way it is with you and me. When you get saved, there's two kings living in the same kingdom. Now, in chapter 7, he's going to go ahead and explain some more. And he's going to give a couple of examples, and we'll try to explain them the best way we can in Romans chapter 7. Now, verse 1, know ye not, brethren. Now, that's a key talking or let you know that he's talking to saved people. Know ye not, do you not know, brethren? For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, verse 2 and 3, Jesus gives us, or Paul is giving us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's given us an example. And he's going to give us an illustration. Now watch the illustration very carefully. For the woman which hath an husband, notice hath, that means present tense, she's got a husband, hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. In other words, once a person gets saved, now they are bound, they are tied. I find it interesting, the Apostle Paul uses the terminology, once you get married, you're bound. in bondage, hallelujah. But anyway, we're not dealing with that tonight. This is just an example, this is just an illustration. But when two people get married, they come together and they're tied together by one flesh. Now watch. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed. Now, what's the definition of loosed? Well, no longer bound. Can anybody say amen on that? If you're not bound, you're loosed. She is loosed from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So, then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, watch, time out, hang on. She hath a husband. Y'all with me? Her husband is still living. They still married. She goes out and marries another. Number one, that's polygamy. They got some guy on trial for all that. Whatever they do to him. Hallelujah. I don't know how many wives he had, but he was bound for sure enough. He was bound and bound and bound and bound and bound.
But this lady right here hath a husband. He's still living and breathing. And she goes and marries another. Now this lady's got two husbands. Y'all with me? Watch. She got two of them. She be married to another man. She shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free. What's the definition of free? Well, not bound, loosed. She is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. All right, have you got the picture? We got an illustration. This is in no way, shape, form, or fashion a dissertation or a doctrinal thesis on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Paul is using an illustration, and I'm fixing to explain the illustration to you very plainly. This is not, people go to this, and this is an illustration. We got a lady here, she's married to a fella, and he's still living. She goes off and marries another man. She's still married to this, and he's still living and breathing. They're still together. She's married to another. She got two husbands. She is an adulteress. Let's keep reading. Here's the illustration. Now Paul is fixing to explain what happened to you and I when we got saved. Wherefore, my brethren, my saved people, my brethren and sisters in Christ, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should not marry to another, even to him, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. Who's been raised from the dead? That we should not bring forth, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Y'all ready for this? All right, y'all ready? Let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you. Before you were saved, watch, your body, soul, and spirit was all one. Your soul is connected to your flesh. Get this picture. I preached a message one time on it's all in a bowl of Jell-O. Get you a bowl of Jell-O. You got the bowl of Jell-O in your mind? You with me? The Jell-O, you let it, you whatever you do to it, I don't even know, but you stick it in the refrigerator, it gets cold, and the Jell-O is stuck to the bowl. It's all one. Turn it upside down, the Jell-O ain't going to fall out. It's stuck to the bowl. If the Jell-O sins, the bowl sins. If the bowl sins, the Jell-O sins because it's all stuck together. Has everybody got that? But when you got saved, the Holy Spirit took a knife. I think this is called, it's a big knife, but it's called a two-edged sword. And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit took that knife and went, have you ever done this? Went down to the edge of the bowl and cut away the Jell-O from the bowl. And now you got two separate things. You turn the bowl upside down now, then the Jell-O's going to fall out. Because why? Now it's become two. Are y'all with me? Before you got saved, your Jell-O was stuck to your bowl. You were all just one. When you sinned, it didn't make no difference. Nobody really cared because you was on the devil's side. He liked it. He loved it. Whatever. I mean, hallelujah. It really didn't bother you because there was nobody inside to tell you that it was supposed to bother you. And so when you sinned, it didn't bother you because the Jell-O is stuck to the bowl. After you get saved, the Holy Spirit cuts around the side of that bowl. And that's called spiritual circumcision in Colossians chapter 2 if you want to read it sometime. It'll take us the whole lesson to talk about that, but it's in Colossians chapter 2. It's called spiritual cutting away of the flesh from the new man. All right. Watch. Before you were saved, Jell-O stuck to the bowl. You were married to the law of sin. But when you got saved, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, your first husband had to die so you could be free to marry another. You know who you married when you got saved? You were married, espoused to Christ. Your first husband died to sin. Died to sin so you could be free and loosed to marry Christ. If you don't believe that right there, read Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it so He could present it a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle unto God. Presented a chaste version unto Christ. So your first, when you got saved, your old man was supposed to die. Supposed to die. So you could marry Christ. Watch. That's the illustration Paul was giving. Now watch this one. Y'all ready for this one? Y'all didn't know. If y'all know this, you wouldn't have come on Wednesday night. Guess what? Sometimes my old man resurrects and I got two husbands spiritually. And I commit, when I sin against God, y'all with me? I commit spiritual adultery. Oh! Everybody, oh, now physical adultery, boy, I'm telling you what, that's bad. That's bad enough. You with me? That's bad enough. I mean, don't clam up. You say amen. That's bad enough. But spiritual adultery, oh, ain't that bad. Everybody does that. Huh? Committing spiritual adultery against Christ? So that's why the Apostle Paul says, after you get saved, you make sure that dude stays dead. You make sure, Paul says, I die daily. Make sure that dude stays dead, or you got two living husbands. Amen. Committing spiritual adultery. Now, we're not getting a lot of amens, but I'm just driving the point home. That's what Paul is saying. By giving us the illustration of the woman is bound to her husband so long as he lives. Well, guess what? After you're saved, you're supposed to be bound to Christ. I think it does say we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I think it does say something like that. Well, whatever you do, my friend, keep that first and dead. That's why die. Christ Jesus died. I'm considered in the eyes of God. I'm considered, my old man is considered crucified. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why do I live by the faith of the Son of God? Because I'm bound to Him. I'm married to Him. I'm joined to Him. I'm bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. So that's what Paul is saying. Now let's keep reading. Verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, all right, before you got saved, the motions of sin was in motion, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Did you know before you got saved, you were producing fruit? It was unrighteous fruit. It was fruit unto death. All right, let's keep reading. Well, before you got saved, sin, the motions of sin in motion. In other words, get your mind, go to a factory. Go to a factory and see those machines in motion. Those machines in motion in that factory are producing something. And what it produces in an unsaved person is producing
fruit that's not the fruit unto death that you're going to die from. All right. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, you were in bondage, wherein we were held, for you got saved, what? Bound. You were bound to your first husband, the law of sin. I've been delivered from that. Delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, verse 7, watch. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Oh, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now watch this. When you get to looking at this, the Apostle Paul didn't want to paint this picture that the law was bad. The law is not bad. The law is not sin. The law does not make you sin. The law reveals sin. It reveals who you are. The law is not bad. The law is not what is doing the sinning. The law is just shining light. The law of God, James said, this Bible is like a looking glass, a mirror. You look into it and it will reveal to you that you are a sinner. If you never look into the mirror, the law of God, you will never realize who you truly are. That's why when a lost person is a lost person, boy, ain't that deep. When a lost person is lost, we take the mirror out and we put our finger on a verse and go, would you look in the mirror and look? I want you to see who you really are. If they never look in here, they're like, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good fellow. I mean, I'm just as good as Justin. I'm as good as Nathan. I'm as good as Brother Jerry. You know, so on and so forth. When you start comparing yourself to other people. But when you open the mirror, the law of God, you look, this is not bad. People look at this and go, oh, that's bad. Man, I feel bad every time I open it. Oh, I just feel dirty every time I open it. Well, this is not what's bad. You know, don't throw this down just because you got dirt on your face. This is just showing you you've got dirt on your face. Amen. So Paul says, is the law sin? Well, no, God forbid. If it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't have known I was a sinner. If it wouldn't have been for a stop sign, I wouldn't have known to stop. If it wouldn't have been for a 55 speed limit, which I don't know why in the world 55 should be on any four-lane highway. I'm sorry, I just had to vent. If it wouldn't have been for the speed limit sign, I wouldn't have known. When I looked down, I was going 65. If there's no speed limit sign, I'm okay. But if there is the law there, I look down, I'm going 65, I'm going, well, I need to slow down. Well, I mean, I won't say that, but but if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you look down and go, hey, I'm sinning against the law. You see, that puts me under conviction, so I'm going to move on to another point. That's what Paul says. The law's not bad. The law reveals who you really are. And I think, what is it, Galatians? Was it Galatians that says the law is our schoolmaster? It brings us to Christ. All right, let's look. Verse number 8. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Now you say, preacher, what is that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Concupiscence is carnal passion. Carnal passion. From without the law, sin was dead. All right. Now, let me give you this real quick. In essence, let's get it all together for a minute. When we were born, you were born with a sinful nature. Do y'all know that? But you were born innocent. You were born a sinner, you just didn't know it. It hadn't been revealed to you yet. You were born with a sinful nature, but you were born in innocence. That means if you were to die, a little baby dies, God forbid, but if a little baby dies in innocence, guess what? They go to heaven. Why? Because what we read in Romans 5, sin is not imputed where there is no law. A baby can't go to hell unless he's presented with a stop sign to know that he's breaking God's law. So you can forget all that predestination, John Calvin, Bailey Sprinkling, whatever. That's hogwash. He hadn't predestinated nobody to go to heaven or hell. He made a provision, if you trust Christ, you can go to heaven. But if a baby dies while he's in innocence, he's going to go to heaven. Even though he has that sin nature. So put all that together. Now, let me read this next verse. Let me explain something further. Watch. I'm trying to get too much going. Hang on. Take a deep breath. All right. This baby that's born in innocence, is this baby a sinner? Let me help you. Yes, he is a sinner. Has sin been imputed to him? No. But watch. Sin is in there laying dormant. He just laying, sin's in there asleep. Pardon my illustration, this is all I got. Sin's in there asleep in that little baby. Ready? That baby keeps coming to church, grows. He grows up 5, 6, 7 years old, whatever. He's under the sound of the preaching. The preacher, every time he gets up, Sunday school teacher back there in the classroom, opens up the law of God, shows him the mirror. And the law will wake up that sin. You with me? Now let me read the next verse. Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once." Watch. "But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." There was a time in Paul's life, he says, "I was alive without the law once." Sin lay dormant. But he said on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, that may not have been when it happened. It's probably a whole lot earlier than that when sin revived, obviously. Get the illustration. "But when that commandment revived that sin, I died spiritually," if you will. Now watch. Verse 10, "And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death." Now let me give you this illustration. Because some of you hadn't got that one yet. You ain't swallowed that one yet. But let me give the age-old illustration. Genesis chapter 3. Y'all with me? Adam and Eve. Let me ask you a question. Adam and Eve. Were they innocent before they sinned? Innocent? Innocent. Innocent. They were innocent, and if they would have died then, they'd have went to heaven or went wherever God prepared if that would have happened, and what if, and whatever. Adam and Eve, innocent, until they were presented with good and evil. And when Eve was presented with good and evil, the commandment of God, she chose to disobey the commandment of God, and they died spiritually. Sin came alive in them. Now, I'm not saying they had sinned. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that's the perfect illustration for a baby. You picture a little baby like some of these little babies, Adam and Eve before they sinned, innocent. They don't know any better. Well, one of these days they'll be presented with the tree of knowledge of good and evil through the Word of God. And they'll have to make that choice, I have sinned against God. And they get to that place and sin revive. Yes, they are a sinner. Yes, they are a sinner. They're born a sinner. Sinner by nature. Sinner by choice. Sinner by birth. Yes.
That thing, it was alive without the law once. And then, what does it say? The word, the right wording of it? But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. That's what Paul said. And the commandment which was ordained of life, I found to be unto death. Verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Well, that's what happened to Eve. That's what happened to Adam. Sin took an occasion. Sin saw the occasion there and said, I'm going to take opportunity of this occasion and I'm going to slay them if I can. And they went in and ate of that fruit and sin slayed them. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. That's not the problem. The Bible's not the problem. The Ten Commandments are not the problem. It's what they show us is what's the problem. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now let me get to this next point. 5 minutes and I'm done. Look at verse 15. If you really hadn't been confused all night, you're fixing to be. Follow this one. Apostle Paul, y'all ready? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, are y'all with me? It is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, well, let me read 23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. Now, let me explain what he just said. After you get saved, you with me? After you get saved, guess what? You start out probably, when you first get saved, you probably start out reading your Bible. You probably read 10 chapters a day. Man, I'm telling you, you started reading, man, I just can't put this down. I'm seeing stuff I've never seen before. Man, this is good. And start writing, taking notes and stuff. And boy, you just are searching and looking. And then you stop and pray to God and pray like you've never prayed before. And then you start reading again. So, man, I just can't. I'm going to be late for work. I'm telling you, I'm going to be late for work. I can't help this now. Man, this is good. I see what they've been saying now. Look at this. But after about 6 months, I ain't got time to read the Bible this morning. I'm going to be late for work. When you first got saved, you was willing to be late for work just to see what else you could get out of here. And the Apostle Paul says, I want to do good. But when I get ready to do good, I come up with all kind of excuses not to do that which is good. I find myself doing evil and forgetting those things which are good. And I said, I want to get up early. I'm going to get up early 15 more minutes and pray early. I'm going to get up 15 more minutes early and I'm going to pray, read my Bible. And I'm going to get back to doing that. And in the morning when you get up, I mean, the kids are start raving mad. They're going fist fighting here and there and yonder. You can't find your toothbrush and this, that, and the other. The 15 minutes has done turned into 30. You're late for work. Hadn't cracked the Bible open. You wanted the will to do good was present, but evil was present with me too. Now, y'all looking at me like I'm the only one that's ever done that. Paul says there's a warring in my members going back and forth. I want to read my Bible and then I pull over here and I don't. And then I want to pray and then something happens and I can't pray. And I think I got my driving under control. And man, I've been doing so good and I haven't fussed at nobody or honked my horn at nobody. And boy, I'm really doing good. And Lord, you really just been blessing me. And somebody pulls up, oh! The warring in your members. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. That is the Christian life. That's what we battle all the time. This preacher included. I battle this all the time. Flipping through the TV and man, you watch it. Oh, I don't need to be watching that. Flip through there. And the flesh is going, yeah, turn that back over there. And the Spirit's going, no, you don't need to be turning that back over there. And my flesh is going, well, I need to watch that. Let's get down to where we live now. Flipping through the radio. And boy, that good old song comes on, you know, brings you back to your prom night. Daddy told me one time, said him and Mama on their prom night, they played, you get a line, I'll get a pole, let's go down to the crawdad hole. How many of y'all remember that? And I said that just to get your attention. But anyway, flipping through there, and boy, your flesh is like, man, I like that song. And your spirit's going, now that don't sound like Amazing Grace to me. I mean, that don't sound like gospel to me. Back and forth. Y'all with me? Just back and forth. And I'm going to tell you, it's a war. If you don't believe that, Galatians 5:17 will tell you that. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's exactly what Paul said in Romans 7. He said, man, I'm wanting to do good to will this. I mean, I'm wanting here. I'm wanting to live for God. I'm wanting to do this. And and every time I try, evil is present with me. Hey, I'm closing, but watch. Now, I may be telling on myself, but I don't think so. How many of y'all have ever sat down and read your Bible and you had bad thoughts come to your mind? How many of you have ever been praying? Boy, I'm telling you about praying. I mean praying real good, and the devil. Watch this one, folks. You may not believe this, but when you kneel to pray, the devil's right there beside you, trying to interrupt the communication. I'm praying, but evil is present with me. I want to do right. I want to read my Bible, but evil is present with me. Now I'm going to read one verse. I told you I'm almost done. Oh, wretched man that I am, verse 24. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. Look at there. Law of God, the law of sin. Law of God, the law of sin. Who are you married to tonight? Have you got two living husbands tonight? I ain't talking about physically. That's another subject for another night. We're not dealing with marriage, divorce, and remarriage tonight. Lord, that'd take us another hour. I'm talking about spiritually, the law of sin, the law of God. When you got saved, the law of sin was supposed to be dead so you could be married to one husband. But that thing revives up. It does in me. Now, I don't know. Y'all's a whole lot more spiritual than I am. And I'm the preacher. You say, preacher, I'm done. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, let me encourage you just a minute before we go. Let me encourage you. Who shall deliver us from the body of this death? There's coming a day. And I know you know it. But there's coming a day when the Lord's going to descend and going to change that vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Paul says, who shall deliver us from this body of sin? Jesus Christ is coming. And He's going to deliver us from this. You know, you're wondering why this thing's going to the grave? Yeah. When you read in the Dyersburg State Gazette, when you read in there,
Brother Jeremy Ballinger, Pastor Holy Hills Baptist Church, has died. Don't believe that. Call the Diver State Gazette right across the street, and you tell them, that's a story. That's a story. Y'all told a lie. Y'all need to correct that. Just put in there, we are fixing to bury his old flesh, and the Lord will come and redeem that old flesh at a later date. But Jeremy Ballinger, the real Jeremy Ballinger, is still living and breathing. Hallelujah on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah on a Wednesday night.